Good morning. Doesn't Lenora's music kind of take you back in time?
That was really
nice. Thank you, Lenora. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house on this Sunday morning. We thank you, as always, for your attention to the local requirements for pandemic compliance, as always. Please take a look at your bulletin flyers. We are grateful for everyone's support of Blanket Sunday last week. We're also thankful for your food contributions to the Thanksgiving tree, which is up front here. That mission will continue through November 22nd, a couple more Sundays from now. Also note that November 22nd is the deadline for placing an order for a poinsettia to help decorate our sanctuary during the Advent season. And Operation Christmas Child, which provides school supplies and other necessities for children overseas, goes on through next Sunday, November 10th. And this year we're requesting cash or check donations for this mission. Again, please refer to your bulletin for details about each of these opportunities to contribute to this important work that Jesus himself instructed us all to do. And now we invite Andrew to lead our call to worship. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. How good it is to give thanks to you, O Lord, to sing in your honor, O Most High God. With the music of stringed instruments and with melody on the harp. Because of what you have done, we sing for joy. Let us sing our opening hymn, number 274, I Love Your Church, O God. We'll sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5.
For a moment of prayer. Merciful Lord, we lift our prayers this morning for compassionate and godly leadership here at Berea Christian Church, as well as our communities, our cities, our states, and our countries. Despite our differences and our diversities, we have chosen to worship you as our one true God. Holy God, this morning we seek the compassionate and the full presence of our Prince of Peace, our highest healer, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Taking your seat, take a few moments to greet those around you with a wave and a hello, and welcome each other to worship today.
Good morning, everyone.
It's a joy to see you in the Lord's house on this Lord's Day, and especially as we are mindful that this is also the Sunday before Veterans Day today. In our prayers, Val, we're going to be lifting you up in prayer as you are anticipating this surgery for the repair of that aortic artery on Thursday, the 19th of November. So, Val, you're in our prayers as the days proceed. We also want to lift up Dennis Davidson. He's having a debilitating back and right hip and leg pain that's just become quite significant, and yet in the midst of all the hospital concerns, it's so difficult to get in and get checked in with the doctors and the medical community. So, Debbie, we're certainly lifting up Dennis in prayer. We want to remember Kathy and Ted Gorman. Kathy is still dealing with the coronavirus. She was seeing improvement on Friday, but then yesterday was a day where she was having more difficulty with a fever jumping up again. She actually went to the hospital about Thursday evening, but the situation in the hospitals is of such that unless you are the sickest of the sick, you're not admitted. And since, thankfully, at least her blood count issues were good enough, even though she was having a lot of trouble breathing, they just kept her for a short period of time in ER and then said go home. So please, please keep Kathy Gorman in your prayers. Ted is so far managing to stay away from this virus, and that's so very important given the health concerns that Ted's dealing with. And of course, Kathy Connell is also dealing with illness. That's why she's not here this morning with us. Does not believe this, the coronavirus, but the doctor recommended 72-hour quarantine, which started on Friday, so that's why she's not with us. We hope she is going to continue to feel better as the days go by. But with Kathy and Kathy both being ill, I guess that means don't take a job at Berry Christian Church. Both, you know, just as they were both starting to be getting on board with the new positions, lo and behold. We want to lift up Glenn Bartley as he's looking to have back surgery on the 7th of December. We remember Betty Donahue in the midst of consultations with the doctors concerning cancer. We lift up Rihanna Ralston with her care through the Block Foundation. We remember Anna Marie Peck. We remember Catherine O'Neill's daughter, Susan Mayberger. Ken and Roxy Weaver continue to be in our prayers, as well as Kelly Jackson's mother, Pat Reese. Also, Kenneth Hoyes continues to be on our list, J.C. Riddle. Pam Roberts moved to Oklahoma this weekend, going to be living with her sister down there, but she is also hoping that she's going to be able to make some connections with folks in Oklahoma City and hopefully get some real definitive understanding about what is going on with these neurological problems that she is having. So remember Pam in your prayers. Dave and Ardith Haynes' nephew Kent is in our prayers, as well as Susan Hank's daughter Candace, Jean Cantola's friend Marion Poston, Ellen Stewart's sister Linda, Michelle Jacobo, Jill Gregory, and of course Michelle Bosworth as well. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Most holy God, we offer you praise as we are privileged to worship you this Lord's Day. We acknowledge, O God, that of the many liberties we enjoy as citizens of this nation, chief among them is the privilege to worship you freely. And on this Sunday in which we honor veterans who presently serve or who have served in our armed services, we acknowledge that the liberties we enjoy are protected by those willing to serve and defend. As we honor our veterans today, we are humbled also by the truth that we continually ask more from those who served in our armed services, as 0.3%, or about 1.3 million, are presently on active duty service for the 329.5 million Americans across this nation. Service and self-sacrifice not only characterize our citizens in the armed services, but we are so well aware that this is so often the most specific trait of those in the medical, security, and rescue services. For they too are among the many, or the few, they are among the few who provide so much for the many, and for their service we are grateful. And as we are followers and believers in Christ as Lord and Savior, may we be inspired, O God, by the exemplary example of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For as Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 reminds us, Christ offered one sacrifice for sins, an offering that is effective forever. And then he sat down at your right side. May the sacrificial ways of our Lord Jesus and that of our fellow citizens in armed and uniformed services inspire each of us to not only be forever grateful, but may we also be compelled to offer the best of ourselves for the benefit of others. For Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. We give thanksgiving, O God, for service rendered, as we also strive to serve in thanksgiving while we recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Another soul to love.
Another
like every child.
Just like every child
needs to find a place. Guide us with your grace. Give us faith so we'll be saved. Needs to find a place. Guide us with your grace. Give us faith so
blessing of music ministry this morning. Thank you, Andrew and Gail and Lenora. As we share the words of our community reflection this morning, may we find comfort and wisdom in these words from Scripture. Today's reflection is inspired by 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 20. May each of us find meaning in these words, and may they become meditations of our hearts. May we turn to our community reflection found at the bottom of the first inside page of your bulletin. The testimony is this: God has given us eternal life, and this life has its source in His Son. So that we know the true God. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. Our hymn of contemplation is number 627. I want Jesus to walk with me. We will sing all stanzas.
Continuing through the 26th. Some of the believers who were scattered by the persecution which took place when Stephen was killed went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message to Jews only. But other believers, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and proclaimed the message to Gentiles also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's power was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The news about this reached the church in Jerusalem, so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw how God had blessed the people, he was glad and urged them all to be faithful and true to the Lord with all their hearts. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he took him to Antioch, and for a whole year the two met with the people of the church and taught a large group. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. May we bow our heads for prayer. Holy God, we're privileged to be in your house, to lift up praise and celebration to your holy name. As we understand from whence our name Christian came from, may it give us a greater appreciation for the banner that we uphold by everything we do and say in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday, on All Saints Day, we honored saints of the church while we also honored beloved people in our own life's experiences who have inspired us to walk in the ways of Christ. As I've thought about last week and all the preparations for that experience, I have often thought that there seems to be a singular trait that encompasses the lives of those who have most inspired us. And that single word is servanthood. And with this being the Sunday before we honor our veterans on Veterans Day, this coming Wednesday, the 11th of November, we realize that as we honor our veterans, we know that indeed we have to thank millions who have served our nation in the armed services, as we have been inspired by that same distinctive quality of servanthood embodied by so many people in uniform. We must be humbled by the truth that today 0.3%, 1.3 million active duty personnel of our nation's population now defends 329.5 million Americans. That is actually the lowest percentage, I think, that we've had in American armed services than any time in our history. You know, it used to be that when we talked about folks who served during the Second World War, almost every family knew someone who was in the armed services in that time period. You know why? Because in that era, 10% of the nation's population was in uniformed services. 10%. Now, it's 0.3%. And before we go further with this morning's message, may we take a moment to honor those of us who actually have served in the armed services. So, would our veterans please stand? That includes Carrie and myself, but who else would it be? Ron, Bryce, great, wonderful. Let's give them a hand, ladies and gentlemen. We are grateful for your service to the nation. Thank you so much. And as we take time to thank our veterans this morning for their honorable servanthood, we are humbled by the fact that so many who have served us have been what we could call the unknown among us. In other words, their service is noted, but their names seem to be kind of forgotten as time goes on. And the unknown who lost their lives in wartime service in our nation are symbolically honored by the Tomb of the Unknown that is located in the plaza of the Memorial Amphitheater at Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia. In November of 1921, the remains of an unknown soldier from the First World War were laid to rest at that tomb, followed by unknowns from the Second World War and Korea, the Korean conflict, in May of 1958. And then in May of 1984, the unknown remains of a veteran from the Vietnam War were laid to rest. Although his remains, those of First Lieutenant Michael Joseph Blassie, were later identified and returned to his family and reinterred at the Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery. Anybody know where that's at? It's in St. Louis County, Missouri. But regarding our Christian walk of faith, it's equally humbling and inspiring to realize that many great strides in promoting the gospel message of Jesus Christ were achieved not just by the biblical characters that are known so famously, such as Simon Peter, the other apostles, or the Apostle Paul, but rather were achieved by the unknown faithful among us. In fact, the origin of our name Christians can be attributed to believers whose names are unknown to history. For this morning's scripture reading, I chose Acts chapter 11 because it is here that in the course of a couple of sentences, Christianity makes the great shift from being a Jewish sect to the faith of the Gentiles. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Some of the believers who were scattered by the persecution which took place when Stephen was killed went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message to Jews only. But, as verse 20 tells us, but other believers, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and proclaimed the message to the Gentiles also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. But note, these people's names are not known, are they? We must first take note that this is the very first time that Christianity is deliberately conveyed to Gentile people, non-Jewish folks, people like you and me. Yet we must especially appreciate the significant leap that is taking place here as Christianity is moving from being a Jewish sect to a religion of its own. Now, of course, there were many incremental steps that helped Christianity to get to that point. We have to remember, first of all, that Jesus witnessed to the Samaritan woman at the well, and Philip also preached to the Samaritans. But let us remember the Samaritans were half Jewish. And second, Simon Peter accepted Cornelius, but Cornelius took the initiative to seek out Peter, and Cornelius was already a person very much integrated into worship of the Jewish faith tradition. Here in Antioch, this is the first time that Christian believers deliberately sought out and witnessed to believers not affiliated with Judaism, those people whom the Jews called Gentiles. Well, where do you get this word Gentile? It gets its origin from the Hebrew word nation, meaning these people were from many nations, but not from the Jewish heritage. Great results came about from the evangelistic work of these unknown Christian people in Antioch. Acts chapter 11, verse 21. The Lord's power was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So significant was their work in converting Gentiles to Christianity that the Jerusalem church took notice and said, hey, we've got to get involved in this. And they sent one of their evangelists to be among the ranks. Acts chapter 11, verse 22. The news about this reached the church in Jerusalem, so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Acts chapter 11, verse 23. When he arrived and saw how God had blessed the people, he was glad and urged them to be faithful and true to the Lord with all their hearts. And Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Now, Barnabas was a man of faith with a great heart, like many believers that you've even known. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37 tells us that he was generous in heart and he had a genuine desire to help brethren in need. And then in Acts 9, verse 27 indicates to us that he willingly sponsored Saul when others were suspect of Saul's earnest conversion, especially as Saul had been a persecutor of Christian believers. Barnabas, with acute wisdom, knew there needed to be someone with whom the Gentiles could relate to and needed to be put in charge of the new following of Gentile believers. Barnabas called on Saul of Tarsus, from whom nothing had been heard of in 9 years. Acts 9, verse 30 tells us that Saul had escaped by way of Caesarea to Tarsus, where he had been witnessing to Christ in his native town. But Barnabas, he's the one who started Paul on his missionary journeys by encouraging him to come to Antioch. Acts chapter 11, verse 25. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he took him to Antioch, and for a whole year, the two met with the people of the church and taught a large group. From a religious perspective, Antioch seems like the most unlikely launching point for Christianity to Gentiles. Yet the city was ripe for the conversion of these people. Antioch in this time period was the third largest city in the world, Rome being the first and Alexandria the second. It was a trade center with trade routes to all corners of the world. That seemed very attractive in striving to share the gospel news. Yet this city was also filled with great immorality, and the followers of Christ were held in jest by many of the citizens of Antioch. And the citizens of Antioch were famous for coining nicknames for groups of people in jest. In the Greek language, the suffix I-A-N-I meant belonging to a party of. So in verse 25, verse B, the text tells us it was at Antioch that the believers were first called what? Christians. Christians, right? Thus the name that was actually given in jest stuck. And from this point, believers in Christ have ever since been known as Christians. So this Sunday, in which we are honoring the few who have offered so much benefit to the many, we celebrate the unknown people of faith who of their own accord went to a pagan city, that city of Antioch, and shared the gospel message to the Gentiles. Yes, we remember names of famous people in the Bible. Barnabas, kind-hearted and generous. We remember Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, whose tenacity continued as a crusade to carry the gospel to all corners of the world. But this morning, we especially give a special word of thanks to the unknown believers from Cyprus and Cyrene who shared the good news of Christ in Antioch. Where would we be today in our Christian faith journey were it not for believers whose names are unknown? And where would we be as a country if it were not for men and women who've been willing to be in the armed services to protect and defend the very truths and the very privileges that we appreciate in our democracy? Yet, so many names are unknown. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way that I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, it's number 494 in the bulletin flyer.
We're going to sing stanzas 1 and 4 of They'll Know We Are Christians.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise you, the Father, from whom all things come. And all praise to Christ Jesus, God's only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And we'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, and we hope you have a very blessed Sunday. And please take an opportunity to offer a word of thanks on Veterans Day come Wednesday. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we're grateful for the day. Guide us as we step forward into the tasks that are at hand, knowing that your Spirit always guides us in ways that we can be beneficial to your kingdom's work here on earth. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks for the privilege to serve. Amen.
Together in unity and love, weave us together, weave us together in love. Weave us together. Weave us together in unity and love. Weave us together. Weave us together, together in love.